You are listening to an online message from Limbrookwood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrookwood BC. Thank you for tuning in.
So here we are. This is the penultimate, I remember learning that word as a kid, the penultimate message, I think. Oh, it's one of those words that you enjoy saying sometimes, isn't it? The last but one in this series. If you've missed any, I would encourage you to pick them up. They are available online. And if you want a CD or something, I'm very happy. We'll put some CDs at the back again. Our reading this morning, as you were aware, comes from Philippians 4. And for those that came on our Discipleship Explored course, that letter to the Philippians was the foundation for all of that course went through. And I don't know, who came on Discipleship Explored? Did that bring back loads of memories as we're going through that? There's some lovely bits of gold in there as we went through it. As I was reading through it again, I just thought, wow, I remember all that we were learning on that. We're going to run Discipleship Explored again at some point next year. We'll also, as part of that series, there's Life Explored, which speaks about God. It's one of the things I'd kind of say, it might sound daft in church. We think a lot about Jesus. We're told that Holy Spirit is here to comfort us. But who's God? And actually, Life Explored goes about the characteristics of God. It's wonderful. It's almost one of those things that you kind of go, we lived in Portsmouth, and there was the Victory. And a friend came down one day and said, should we go and see the Victory? And I thought, well, I've lived here for 12 years. I've never been. And actually, sometimes you come to church, and you can kind of go, God, yeah, I know what about... Actually, what are the characteristics of God? And Life Explored goes through that. It's a wonderful little course. And as part of that, the second part in the series is Christianity Explored. So if you want to learn a bit more about the Christian faith, that's another thing that we'll be running. But this week, I'm just going to focus on one verse from our reading. Have you picked up a theme? It was actually in our prayer meeting out the back this morning. Have you picked up a theme in the songs this morning? Huh? I think you said it. Rejoice. I heard another word, rejoice. It was in our prayer meeting this morning. It started to come out, rejoicing. And here we are in Philippians 4. It says in the NIV UK, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And if you like your King James version, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. So actually, you can see there's not a lot of difference within there. So it's quite a simple scripture to understand. I don't think there's anything tricky about that. Except Paul does say it twice, doesn't he? And when we start seeing things in scriptures where it's twice or three times, it's said there for some kind of emphasis. So rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. What does that actually mean? What does that actually mean? Easy to understand, but if you think about it for a moment, rejoice in the Lord always, always. I'll say it again, rejoice, always. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now, I don't know about you, but if you start thinking about it, then a few questions probably start to come up. Certainly did for me. Is it possible to rejoice in the Lord always? Not sometimes, but always. Is that possible? Does this mean I need to have a permanent grin on my face? Hi, I'm a Christian. Can you tell? Always rejoicing me, you know? It's kind of, but we should have that grin. I think we have that internal grin, don't we? But is it a sin to be sad or depressed sometimes? Rejoice in the Lord always, it says. I'll say it again, rejoice. They're good questions, but actually, are they the right questions? Because I would say probably the majority of us aren't wired that way. There are the odd few. I don't know if you can think of somebody that's always got that grin and always seems to be happy. There's the odd one. And they don't even necessarily have to be a Christian. They just seem to be a happy person all the time. I think a better approach to this is we've got to see this as a command that Paul is giving us. And actually, let's put that into the context of Paul's life. If you were to think about it, here he is writing this in chains. He's been shipwrecked. He's on death row, if you like. There's some dodgy preaching going on around him, if you were to read back a bit before. that dodgy preaching is maybe trying to discredit him. And he writes these words right at the beginning of Philippians, Philippians 1, verse 18. It says, and because of this, all this rubbish that's going on around him, look, as long as Christ is preached, he's saying, and because of this, I rejoice. Yes, I will continue to rejoice. He's choosing here to rejoice. And I think Paul's example isn't about cheerfulness. I think we'd all like that cheery disposition, wouldn't we? But this isn't about Paul saying, be cheery all the time. I'll say it again, be cheery. He's not saying that. He's saying, rejoice. And there's something about that supernatural power that works in and through us. It's not about our feelings. I am feeling cheery. But there's an obedience here to God. It's not about trusting in ourselves, but trusting in God. Now, I said it a minute ago, Paul's command to rejoice is actually emphasized twice, something to remember. And there is something supernatural going on. It's God's power at work to fulfill God's plans. And if we're serving God, like we said last week, then the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord, that goal, that transformation in our lives will come. The joy of the Lord is my strength. It's interesting. These are the words, I don't know, who knows the Wren Collective? Anybody know that band? We were talking about it earlier. The Wren Collective. And that was actually the song that was playing as you came in on repeat. I thought you might get it eventually. Oh, I've heard those words somewhere before. It was as you came in this morning, it was playing away. The joy of the Lord is my strength, it says. In the darkness I'll dance and in the shadows I'll sing. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And actually, when I saw the whole chorus, when I saw about singing in the shadows, I thought, oh, that's really interesting. That kind of fits with our removing the shadow of sin that's going on this week. And the reality is some of us are hiding in the shadows still, or we might be going through difficult times. Another one of the Wren Collective songs that's called Joy, actually. It says, we cast aside our shadows, trust you with our sorrows. And even though we might be going through some hard times, there might be some wounds that are still in our lives, we shouldn't be robbed of our joy. I think we've got a choice. We've got a choice. We can live our lives by our feelings or how we feel about something. And like the psalmist wrote down, he was going through, there was a little bit of lamenting going on. There's nothing wrong with lamenting. I think churches that sometimes go through a period of lament, or as a personal person going through lament, we bring that passionate grief before God. That's a good thing to do sometimes. The psalmist did it a lot, but it was in the context of him heading towards something. It was always in that context of actually, God, you are great in this situation. God, you've got some healing power that can come in this situation. And that process comes from focusing on ourselves to actually then refocusing back on God. Paul's call to rejoice here are not the words of an optimist. I don't know if you're that kind of person, or yeah, well, the optimist says rejoice in the Lord always. Paul's not that. He knew struggles, didn't he? He knew suffering. He knew, we read in the letters, don't we? He knew the nearness of death itself. But he wrote those beautiful words, and I think it puts context here. I've just loved Philippians as we've gone through it. Philippians 1:21, if you want to flick back a few pages. Philippians 1:21 says this, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And as we actually went through this in Discipleship Explored, this is one of those key verses that it brought out. For me to live is Christ. The joy of the Lord is my strength in these situations. But actually, even if I die, I know I'm going to be in that better place. You'll see at the end of Paul's letter as well, in Philippians 4:11, he writes, for I've learned to be content in whatever circumstances. And those other words, 4:13, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Now, you might be sitting here this morning thinking, well, that's all fine and dandy. That was nice for Paul. But what about my situation today? How can that apply to me? So let me ask another question. Who is in control of your troubles or your struggles? Think about that for a moment. Who is in control of your troubles or your struggles? Because if the answer is yourself, I'd say, well, actually, why haven't you given them to God? Are you still holding on to these troubles and struggles? Are you still keeping them in the shadows, which kind of fits with our message, doesn't it? Now, your reply might be, well, actually, Darren, my troubles are too messy. I've got them covered. Or you might say, well, I'm older in years now, Darren, and they were a long time ago. They don't have any effect on me now. I've kind of got them sorted. But we know that's not the case, don't we? And I think that's actually why this message is so important today. So let's just lament. So let's just think maybe for a moment, like the psalmist did. I don't know if you remember right back at the beginning of the message for those that were here. I've got that slide that comes up with that thing. What is that thing when someone says, how are you? Or if you have a moment alone, and then that thing comes in your mind and you just think, oh, not that again. Still haven't dealt with that thing. And if you're struggling, what is that thing that when you seem to go really well for God, it comes in and it just shuts you down when you think you're starting to move forwards? I believe we've all got that thing. There's something there. And we say, what's that all about? Just think for a moment again. You see, that thing may be something that you've done, and maybe you're ashamed of it. Maybe it's something you do repeatedly, and you're ashamed of it. It's that thing. Maybe it was something that was done to you. Whichever way round it was, for some, we're still hurting with that thing. Maybe even slowly bleeding inside every time you think about it. And these wounds, these thoughts, these sins, they do leak out in our lives, even if we think we've got it sorted. And actually, if you take it through to some sort of logical conclusion, what you're saying is, I'm all right, God, I've got this sorted, I don't need you. That's a pretty big thing to say, isn't it? I'm kind of harping back to what Maurice Markham was saying when Maurice came, when he spoke to us. He spoke about wounds, didn't he? He spoke about four areas. Those wounds, those things that have wounded us in the past, those sins, those things that we keep doing. He spoke about bondages, which is maybe an old word, those things that imprison us, trap us, shut us down. And those works of the evil one, these four areas that things seem to fit into our lives. And it robs us of that life that God has for us. And actually, if it robs us of that life with God, it will almost certainly rob us of our joy. And I think this is where it's a real challenge, and something Maurice brought, is that it doesn't just stop with us. And this is not me putting a clever preach together this morning, because I've shared my testimony before when I got some release from some generational prayer. But for those that have not heard me speak on this before, those wounds, those sins, those imprisonments, those works of the enemy can come down your family line. Now, I don't know if you've heard of generational sin, if you're a visitor amongst us this morning. It's very powerful, isn't it? And actually, it can come down. We're quite happy to say, Dad was a drummer, Granddad was a drummer, I'm a drummer. You know, Mum was a seamstress. Oh, I'm stereotyping now. But whatever the jobs might be, we're quite happy for those things to come down. Practical skills, practical abilities. Maybe my family's very academic in all those things. We're quite happy for those things to come down our family line and say, we're used to that. But what about the wounds and the sins and the things that have hurt us? If you were to look back along your family line, would that thing that shuts you down, did that happen to your mum or your dad or your granddad or your nan? Or did they do those things and actually you're now seeing that you're doing those things? And this is why I think generational prayer is it's a massively undealt with thing in the church. I think my eyes were really open to up to it about a year, 18 months ago. Those things that can come down the family line. And actually, if they're left undealt with, they do leak out. It ultimately controls us. And actually, I think we then embrace that sin by not taking it to God because we say, well, God's not big enough to deal with that situation. we're actually saying the work that Christ did on the cross wasn't enough to deal with that situation. I'm going to hold on to this and maybe I can deal with it and squash it down. But actually, what does it do? And this is why I think this series called Removing the Shadow of Sin is about removing those areas in our lives, removing those areas where we run to so we can be free and bring those things into the light. If not, there is an enemy and he will remind you of those things. I guarantee he'll remind you of those things just at the wrong time or the right time according to him. And it will make you run into the shadows a little bit more. And dare I say it, it will rob you of your joy. Don't you dare rejoice this morning. Don't you dare rejoice. What if everybody knew about that thing? What is that thing? If you had to flick to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians 1. We're not to be left in the dark with this. 2 Corinthians 1 verses 8 to 10. Says these words. He says, We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. Think about that. Far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we'd received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Is this your story, or like what you're going through right now? Even to the point of death, I don't know if we face that. It might feel like that sometimes, that utter despair. But there's good news in this. Stop relying upon yourself to fix these situations and rely upon God who raises the dead. That power is the power that could be at work in us that sets us free from those things. 1 Timothy 1:15, I can't I've put it up on the screen. There you go, you can see it up there. You don't necessarily need to look it up. Here is a trustworthy saying. I love it when the scripture says, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ came into the world to save sinners, and I am the worst. How many here would like to challenge him on that? I'm the worst. Yet Christ came in the world to save sinners. What I do want to preach this morning is that God has the power to sort your situation out. But you've got to trust him and trust that he is able to do that. I do know from many personal experiences and those of others that God is able to pour his healing into whatever situation is there. Whatever needs to flow out of that, whether it's forgiveness, whatever it might be, those words again, the joy of the Lord is my strength. These situations, that thing will no longer have authority over you. It doesn't mean that sometimes it's a scar and it's left and you might remember it. It might be you never forget, but it no longer has authority over you. God has that power if you take it to the cross. Otherwise, you say it wasn't good enough. God is not able. That's a very difficult place to be. And what's the fruit of this? What happens if we do this? Because I know a number of people have been on this journey over this last year, and you see something different in them. Guarantee it. People see it. If it's something generational that you've been cut free from, there are benefits. It's not just you that gets your healing, but if you're a parent, your kids get set free from that. If we're going to cut some of these generational ties off, it means it doesn't get passed to our kids. I won't share in detail, but you know, there were things in my family line which were really, really not good. And actually, my prayer has been, ever since our kids were in the womb, that Lord, I want that cut free. I don't want that going down to my family line. I want that set free. I don't want my kids to go through what I went through and what it seems many generations before went through. I want that cut free. And actually, I think it maybe works the other way. If you've got parents or grandparents alive, I think there is healing that can come back up that family line. lead parents and grandparents back to that place of forgiveness, peace, healing, completeness, whatever it is, that word that speaks into your situation. And you will be a walking advert for God. The power of God in your life is not easy to hide if it's at work. Your healing will either be infectious, or I think your pain will be cancerous. If people see a transformation in you, they will say, what's different about you? Now, I shared a car journey, and I'm not going to embarrass who I was sharing a car journey with. But when they said, well, I don't know if there's anything different in my life. And I said, well, what about this? And they went, oh, yeah. I said, what about that? They went, oh, yeah. I said, what about this? They went, oh, yeah. And actually, so much has happened in their life. In actual fact, they turned around to me and said, well, do you know what? I think a boss or a manager said, there's something different about you. Because something has come and changed that. You can't hide it. Even if you think you are, if you think, well, I'm just going to be quiet, no one's going to notice. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You can't hide it. It's there, it's written over your face. Gospel transformation. Remember our gospel transformation message? I said, is there gospel transformation or is there moral change? I don't know if you actually remember that message. Gospel transformation, moral change. It was a few messages back. But do you remember that had three little points? I think they're on the screen that's going to come up. That gospel transformation, when it takes part in your life, you have a strong belief in Christ. Our faith is worked out. Because if we're not trusting in God, we're not exercising faith. We're saying, he's not big enough. I've got no faith. God is not powerful. Our faith will rise. God's favor is upon you. His grace, he pours this out on us. He's not going to punish us. His grace is enough. And actually, when that relationship is restored, there is an obedience that comes that we don't just operate in my strength anymore. I operate in the power of the cross, the power of our risen Savior. And actually, I think I put the slide up. Is the next one there, Sue? That's there. Great. It's a sandwich. This was a sandwich. I don't know if you remember back to this one. I like sandwiches. But actually, we've got the first layer. It's God's grace. We accept who we are in God. That power comes with our obedience to working in the things that he calls us to. Not that I think this is a good idea. God says, I do in obedience. He gives me his power. Who gets the glory? God gets the glory. It's just such a wonderful message. Or you can do the opposite and say, well, God's grace isn't enough. I'm going to do it on my own. Who's going to get the glory? I don't want to eat that sandwich. That's the sandwich I want to eat. It's got good meat in the middle. I believe the outworking of this healing and restored relationship, that joy should be unspeakable. And as you grow in this joy and obedience, you will learn, as Paul did, to take what the enemy once used against us in those dark places, and you'll be an overcomer. And I really like that word, overcomer, because it might be we've still got some afflictions. There might be some things that we're still just going to live with, but we are an overcomer. 1 John 5, 4-5. I think I've only put it up there. Yeah, you'll have to look it up yourself. You can put your thumbnail in there, bookmark in there or something. But 1 John 5, nice little book at the back if you're looking for it. 1 John 5, 4-5 says, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has come, that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. Are we overcomers this morning? If we have faith to trust in God, I believe we will have life and we'll have that life to the full. It will have purpose. And you can pick up on the purpose maybe you've got so far in your life and you thought, well, actually, I once did have purpose and then I've been robbed of that. If we give those things to God, maybe he'll repurpose us again. Release those gifts that God has in us. If you focused on your life, the issues in your life, I think we just get robbed of our joy. But focus on God and his plans fan into flame those unique qualities. And everybody has got a unique quality in this room. Don't think, oh, the person next to me got more than me or whatever. Whatever it is, God has given every one of us a unique quality, and we can fan that into flame. Joy will flow. And I love these words. Be well. Be well. And I'm going to close with this. It's a good short message today. Be well. If you were to actually look up in the Strong's Concordance, what the meaning rejoice is, it's got that number 5463 in the Strong's Concordance. It has a number of uses, but one of those, I was looking it up, it said, be well, comma, thrive. And I was like, whoa, you know, rejoicing, be well and thrive. Now, you know where I'm going to go with this, don't you? What is our Sunday evening service called? Thrive. You know, and when I looked this up, I was like, wow, that's really amazing. Because I'm going to say it's doubly amazing, aren't I? Because actually that be well part, we had that message, one of the first messages I gave when we came here was about living well. So living well. Can you remember? Remember what well stands for, that acronym. Can you remember? W stands for worship. E is, come on, Dave, you're on it. L is, yay, there you go. And the last one is we live life, life to the full. Worship, evangelism, learning, and life. That is the acronym that I made out of this. I said everything we want to do at Limbrick Woods, and that's why we've got these growing well, well men, well women, well everything, you know, eat well, whatever it is. We've got this well stuff because we want everything we do to be about worship, connect with God, and then out of that flows and natural evangelism. Do you know what God's done in my life this week? You can't help it. You don't need to go to evangelism class to tell people about your good news. You will just tell people if it's good news. And actually, and when we start to get some good news or you start to get something working in your life, you naturally want to learn more about it. So these things are very natural. And actually, if it gives you good life, then you start worshiping God more. That was the well thing. So you can see why I was quite excited about this. Now, for the keen ear amongst us this morning, my message had well in it. It was all well. And actually, when I got to the end of this, I was kind of like, wow, what's God really saying to us? What did I say a minute ago? If we've got these struggles and things, are we going to deal with it, or are we going to recognize who God is? Recognize his power, that he is the overcomer. And in that moment, we will recognize who God is, and we will worship him. The outworking of that newfound healing, that newfound forgiveness, will become our natural evangelism. We will naturally tell people about those things. We will learn how to walk in obedience. We will learn how to be an overcomer. That's mi'el, learning. And we'll find our purpose in God's kingdom, living out that life that God has designed us to be. Well, there's your L. There's your life. Worship, evangelism, learning, and life. Be well. Thrive. I mean, it's so exciting. And when I saw this, I was like, wow, is God saying something to us? There's our well. Look, W-E-L-L. It keeps going round and round in a circle because we worship God. We tell people about it because something wonderful has happened in our life. His power has come. We learn a little bit more. We want to find out a bit more about it, and we start living. And when we start living, we start worshiping. And I pray that this is something that we do. It's a perpetuating thing that keeps going. It's not like we've done it in a linear way and now it's finished. What's next? It's repeat, repeat. I believe if we do this well, if we carry on this thing of well, the natural process of worshiping God and growing in him will deepen. It's not just a surface thing. I think as the well goes down, you realize the depth of God. You might look down and think, oh, it's a little well, but actually it's a deep well. And the well of God just goes down so deep. That deep calls to deep. Rejoice is our topic this morning. Be well, thrive, and then repeat. Rejoice, be well, thrive, repeat. Rejoice, be well, thrive, repeat. Rejoicing removes the shadow of sin. Do you get that this morning? I think this is wonderful. rejoice, be well, thrive, repeat. And what did Paul say? Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Repeat, I'll say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. And repeat, be well, thrive.
You are listening to an online message from Limbrook Wood Baptist Church. For more messages, upcoming events and weekly activities, please visit www.lwbc.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Limbrook Wood BC. Thank you for tuning in.